In this bonus episode of Fictional Hangover, we discuss horsing around the tiny Tower of London and riding with your friends with Jodie Meadows, who wrote My Lady Jane with Cynthia Hand and Brody Ashton.
Hey everybody, welcome to Fictional Hangover, a podcast about young adult and new adult books, series, and authors that is full of spoilers. I'm Claire.
And I'm Amanda. We're just going to dive right into the interview with Jodie Meadows. We hope you enjoy. Do you know what? We have someone else joining us today.
No!
Yes, and it's very special that she's here with us.
Tell me more.
Do you know who we have?
No.
Jodie Meadows!
Hi.
Hi! Hi, it's the real life Jodie Meadows.
Right. Why am I on this call again?
Why did I agree to do this? Boredom and isolation? Yes.
I will take that. I'm hoping to get many people due to boredom and isolation. Want to kill some time? Give us a call.
We're all just making it through the best way we know how.
Exactly.
We are. So, we've seen that the Marys are coming, but are there more Janes in the works? Jane Porter and Tarzan, G.I. Jane, Jane Doe, Mystery Corpse, with a buddy horse? Something like that. <Buddy horse. laughs>
We don't have any other Jane books planned right now. That doesn't mean it won't happen, but we're only thinking so far in the future, and our lives are already planned until 2023.
Mm. So 2024, Jane Doe, the mystery.
We need to get through the ones that we have now. So
okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you need any Jane ideas, you can have those three. I'll give them to you. You don't even have to like mention me in, you know, the acknowledgments or anything. I freely give you G.I. Jane, Jane Doe.
You say that, but you want to be acknowledged.
We might get sued for G.I. Jane, though. I don't know. It seems like that one might be under a trademark.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're stuck in the tower for 50 years, you can wait out that copyright.
That's true.
So it's fine.
Yeah. It'll eventually make it into, I've just blanked on what it is, but when the copyright is out.
Yeah, public domain.
Yeah.
But if you're in the tower for 50 years, people think you're dead and you're probably writing under a pen name. So, you know, go for it.
Yeah.
Just self-pub. It's fine. That never caused a Twitter storm. Okay. So is there someone else in history who you'd actually love to write about, but you can't seem to work the storyline? Has there been a Jane that you've wanted to cover but you haven't, or a Mary that you want to cover but might not be, or not a Mary, not a Jane, a Judy or a Wendy, or I can't think of girls' names right now.
We don't really have anybody else in mind right now. We've come up with other very common historical names like Catherine or Elizabeth, but you know, I don't know that we've really chosen anybody, and again, that's all so far in the future. We still have to make it through the second Mary book.
What about you yourself?
Oh, me myself? No. I only write history with my friends.
That's
only safe way.
I've got this image of you like attacking history like Doctor Who, where you'll only go if you've got a companion or three, and that's the only way to do history.
Right. Well, I don't want to mess it up. Paradoxes.
You don't want a butterfly effect anything?
Yeah.
Let's see. So you don't want to travel through history alone. So what is your favorite time period? And if you could travel through time without butterfly affecting, when would you visit and why?
Oh gosh. I don't know. I really like our time period, but sometimes I don't. However, I really like having flush toilets and things like that. So it would be and I like having the right to vote and, you know, all of that. So mm-hmm. it would be really difficult to go back into any historical period where I didn't have the right to vote mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever. Or whether, you know, where I had to like, go to the bathroom in a ditch. I don't want to do that.
There's a lot to be said for oral hygiene, sanitary products, and penicillin.
Yes. Yes. And I'm very happy with all of those things being in my life. So I don't know that I would really want to go. Maybe if I could like visit as a ghost and I didn't actually have to interact, like a ghost from the future. And Ooh. And then like, you know, it wouldn't matter if I was on my period because, you know, it'd be ghostly anyway. So I could just watch history.
Now I just want, can you now just please write Ghost to the Future with your ghostly periods? Can you please do this? I will read it.
Thanks. So maybe I would visit famous like historical astronomers or something. I think that would be fun.
That could be cool.
Yeah. I always worry about the diseases and you know, it's like, oh, if you could go at any time period, it's like, yeah, but cholera and tuberculosis and plague and, you know.
If you're a ghost, none of those things are problems.
But yeah, you don't have to worry about, you know, feces on the floor or, you know, when you go down those alleyways that, well, the butchers are always housed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you're like, yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's all fine.
So we went to Deadwood last summer as part of our Calamity Jane research trips.
Nice.
And it was a lot of fun. But they were talking about how Main Street used to be significantly lower, I believe. And the street wasn't really, it was always kind of goopy and not with mud. It looked like mud, but it was not mud. And, you know, history is disgusting sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't want to go then.
Yeah, I went to Pompeii on holiday. To Italy, and we visited Pompeii. And you're walking through the streets, and the curb of the sidewalks are really heavily raised up. And then in the middle of the actual road where the horses and the carriages would go, there's stepping stones. And the tour guide is like, "Do you know why those are there?" And it's like, "So you can cross the road." But yes, why do you need them? And it's like, he went, "Because it's just poo everywhere."
Ew.
And it was so raised up because, yeah, they just don't think about sanitation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. There's one in York, the Shambles, it's really famous and everybody goes there because it's such a traditional old style cobble street and it's on a slope. And then when you actually explain, it's because of the butchers used to be there and it was so everything could run down into the drainage systems. And so they could wash it out. And when I've been into Edinburgh as well, how it's on a slope and they tell you how dirty and disgusting everything is and how people would wash and swim and drink the loch water before it was drained out and turned into city gardens. And you're just like, bah, bah, bah. No, it would just smell. And I have a really bad sense of smell, but I think I would smell Edinburgh. And I love that city. Can I just ask, did you actually travel to anywhere in England for the book? Or
mm-hmm. Yeah, we went to London and spent some time there and visited the Tower of London and just did some other touristy things. And we also visited, I'm blanking on names. It's been so long since I've worked on the book. The park where Jane grew up. Oh, it's Bradgate Park, which was beautiful.
Mm.
It was so pretty there.
The estates are always much nicer than the castles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, and we also visited Dudley Castle, which is nice. The saddest zoo in the whole world.
Yeah. What did you think of the tower? I've been once and I thought it was tiny.
It was a lot smaller than I thought it was going to be. It really made me see castles in a whole new way. But I mean, I liked it. It was nice. I mean, it was sad. We took the tour and saw all the places where people were beheaded, and like the big, it looks like a table.
Oh, the block, the actual beheading block. Yeah.
Well, they had a big like glass thing on it now.
Yeah.
With names on it. And so as our tour guide was telling us how, you know, like all the people who were beheaded there, and he brought up Jane Grey, and we all made like these little saddest sweet noises. Yeah, like we were up in the front with the little kids, and then we started like getting kind of teary as he was describing all of the Jane things, and he just kept giving us this look like, what is wrong with you grown adults?
Were you in your head secretly going, but she's going to live with us?
Yeah, it was really great. And then later we did talk to them, and one of the men there told us where to find the room that Jane had been held in and that Gifford had been held in, or Guilford, fake Gifford, no, real Gifford, and where he had carved Jane's name into the wall 2 times. And of course we were like, oh, he loved her. And our guy was just like, oh no, Americans. Really, I mean, like, it's a stone wall. Why would you spend all that time scratching somebody's name into the wall if you didn't like them?
Hatred.
Yes, Jane. Hatred. Rage.
You did this to me.
Rage is a huge motivator. Yeah, it's years ago since I've been to the Tower of London, and it is a fantastic place. It is expected to be huge, and it really isn't. It's so dinky. And they clip all the wings of the ravens as well, so they don't fly out, because the whole myth is that if ravens leave the tower, then the monarchy will collapse. Well, you know, it's doing it itself. They don't need no ravens' help for that one. I just think it's cheating. No clipping the wings of the ravens.
Yeah.
One day I'll visit.
I'll put it on on the list. I'll take you to the Tower of London, and we'll go to Cadbury's World as well.
Okay.
Which is not in London, but, you know, I'll take you to the Harry Potter experience.
Oh, okay, thanks. I'll do that. So you mentioned traveling with your co-authors. What's it like to work with two other people on the same book?
It's a lot of fun. We just have a great time. Our goal is always to make each other laugh and to, I don't know, try to outdo each other in the jokes department, which can be difficult because they're both very funny. But it's fun. It's really nice to be able to share something like that with two people you care very much about.
I asked this on Twitter, and I'm just wondering, who is the punniest of all of you? Like, who's the one who just sits there and just won't stop punning? Because it was full of puns and full of Monty Python references. And I got was the horse named Wesley because of the Princess Bride?
Yes.
Thank you. I was just sitting there, because I listened to the audiobook version, and Catherine Kellgren did the, wow. She was brilliant. She got everything down, and I'm cackling at the book, at her rendition of it, and going, yes, yes, this is exactly how she needs to react. This is brilliant. And that's Blackadder. I'm sure I've got Blackadder. I've definitely got Monty Python. Yep. Is that Tangled reference with the frying pan? And I was just plucking out all these lovely references. Like, yes, this is the pop culture comedy historical with some animal changes in their book that I need right now. It just ticked all the boxes.
I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah.
I messaged Amanda and said, I've fallen asleep listening to My Lady Jane again. And she went, oh no. I went, I know, I'm good. And she went, are you not enjoying it? I went, no, I'm flipping loving it. I'm killing myself. It's 2 o'clock in the morning and I fell asleep with my earbuds in. And she's like, oh, that's okay then. I went, I can't wait to get them in again.
I picked this one. I don't want you to be falling asleep. It'll make for a terrible discussion.
Well, I absolutely loved it. It was killing me that I kept falling asleep because I wasn't able to listen to it until stupid o'clock in the morning. And then I was passing out. So then I'm like, right, I'll cook dinner today because then I can put the audiobook on, and I'll do the washing because then I can put the audiobook on, just to try and stay awake and listen to it because it was so good. It just, it felt very British, actually. So you really hit the comedy chops that I understand, and the sarcasm and the exasperation, and it hit all of the British marks for me that not a lot of American authors can get.
Oh, well, thank you. We had an amazing time writing that book.
Excellent.
I love it so much.
So in every episode, we do like to pluck a life lesson from the book.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that this one has taught you?
Yeah, I honestly, before I started writing that book with Brody and Cynthia, I thought that I would never, ever be able to co-write anything. I always thought that I was way too possessive, and that I always had too much of like a firm idea of what I wanted in a book. And I just didn't see how I could possibly write something and feel like it was mine, but also somebody else's, until I did. And it really, it taught me a lot about working with others and sharing and caring and, you know, making me realize that, like, no, this co-writing thing is actually pretty nice because I'm not always just working on it by myself. Who knew?
Yeah.
That it is really nice to be able to, you know, when I'm having a problem on my chapter or the part of my day when I spend that I spend staring out the window wishing I knew what word I was trying to think of, I could just ask somebody else.
Yeah.
Because there's two other brains who are focused on the same book I am. How amazing is that?
So how did you actually do it? What was like the logistics behind it? Were you just like writing your bits and then sending them to each other and then
they would check actually it? Get together in person generally. Oh, yeah.
That's adorable. You leave the tower.
We leave the tower and we meet up at a separate tower, usually for about a week at a time. And we have our outline that, at least for the first half of the book, we have our outline. We each have a character that we write, and the characters always rotate, you know. So, you know, Edward, Jane, Gifford, and back to Edward. So we call those rounds. And every single day while we're together, we write a round. We each write a chapter. So by the end of our week, we can have a significant portion of the book written.
Wow.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
brilliant. I'm guessing there's been moments where you've been, you're writing Jane, but then Gifford is obviously interacting with her and you're like, I can't seem to get his voice. Has mm-hmm. that ever been an issue when you've been able to just say, help, this is yes. your character. What would he actually say? Because what I'm writing just seems wrong. It just doesn't feel natural.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Having that really kind cool. of like cooperation. Let's yeah, take a lot of,
And we also have
it's ownership hard work to work together.
Oh yeah. So we also have ownership over our own characters and over our chapters. So if I was writing something with Jane interacting with Gifford and it was off, Brody, who wrote Gifford, could come in and adjust it for me.
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect.
And that's before even like it gets to edit and things like mm-hmm. that, isn't it? It's just, that's amazing. It's like, is it kind of a teamwork that you never knew you needed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Yeah, I love that. I guess in my head, it was not so like, you know, we just sit down and we each write our own chapter. I just, it is more chaos in my head thinking of it. So that's awesome.
I know it's other co-writing teams have their own processes for how they write books together. I know some people will write a chapter and then send it to the other person and they'll just swap back and forth. Or they'll all write it together somehow. I don't know. We have sort of done that a couple of times, mostly when we are on FaceTime or Google Hangouts or Skype or, you know, something.
Yeah.
And we open up a Google Doc and somebody will start writing, like for the prologues or midlogs, for example, somebody will start writing and somebody else will come behind and like add stuff to it. And then I'll usually go behind them and fix everybody's grammar and punctuation.
I do that in our episode, in our show notes.
It's like there's a ghost in the machine. I'm like, it's changing everything.
Yeah, so I mean, like, we've written some fun things like that before. There was one scene in particular that we wrote for Calamity Jane several years ago now that it was so much fun. We had a great time writing it. Most everything else that we wrote changed, but we worked really hard to be able to keep as much of that scene as we could. And it did make it into the final book.
Oh,
awesome. I'm so excited to read that one.
Yeah, definitely.
So excited.
I think we actually saw the Calamity Jane one and then realized actually there's a My Lady Jane. We have to read that one first. And I think it was Amanda, you told me about the My Lady Jane, and I was like, oh, I've just found Calamity. And you're like, no, you've got to read this one first. I'm like, okay, when can we do it? When can we please do it? Because it's just like, you know, it just ticks so many boxes. And it's kind of like the humour that I need right now. I need this humour. I don't need anything serious. I need something that's going to tickle my funny bones.
Yeah, it's really nice to be able to read something fun and lighthearted or work on something fun and lighthearted.
Yeah.
While, is like raining fire.
Exactly. And I love the voice when you break the fourth wall and you're like, dear reader, as your historians, we're doing this. And it's our books and we can do what we want. I'm like, yes, I love that voice as well. That dipping in of the author voice. I'm like, yes. Yeah, yes.
That's perfect.
That exactly. Perfect.
Here's an aside about ropes.
Yeah, kind of
this word hobbies. Actually wasn't a word yet, but oh well. I love it so much.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh, so I'm going to ask, because we were talking about how we're going to do My Plain Jane next month, and then Calamity Jane in the summer, and those conveniently... and not at all on purpose, like really actually conveniently fit in with our book challenges that we have. So I wanted to ask if there are any other than those two that you can suggest, you can recommend for our book club challenge.
Well, A Holiday Escape, you can use Cynthia's book, The Afterlife of Holly's Chase, or Holly Chase, not Possessive Holly's. and... Remember the 5th of November, of course, Fox by Nadine Brandes, if you haven't done that one. And then I recommend Agnes at the End of the World to you guys, but I don't know that it fits any of your themes.
Doesn't matter.
No, we can force it.
Okay.
And also, we just like book recommendations.
We don't just do the themes. We like to mix them up. So we'll do one or two episodes a month that will be theme affiliated in some very even tenuous way.
Okay, great.
But we just like to have lots of recommendations down, so we're not just reading the stuff that we like to read.
Well, I love Agnes at the End of the World. It's by Kelly McWilliams. It's got a cult, it's got a pandemic, not on purpose. but it's just such a wonderful, wonderful book.
Excellent, excellent.
Awesome.
Was there any book that actually you would say changed your life or was influential to you growing up or... now, not necessarily a YA book. What were the books that changed your life?
Well, before I was 11, I did not realize that people had to write books. I just thought they appeared.
Fair.
And my librarians gave them to me. Like, for some reason, the name on the book never really gave me the hint that it should have given me. But anyway, so Wait Till Helen Comes by Mary Dillingham. That one was the one that made me realize, like, oh, people have to write books.
Like, that's a cute story.
It took until I was 11 years old. Yeah. That one was the one that made me realize that people wrote books. And also, I think that was one of the first books that I really remember all of the scary or supernatural stuff being real. Because I liked books before that, of course, but so many of the supernatural stuff was just kind of explained away. You know, the howling was just an opening in the cave. it wasn't actually a ghost, or, you know, yeah, things like that.
Too much debunking.
Right, right. And, like, the ghost cat was just a sneaky white cat. I was very disappointed in all of those answers. Oh. But in Wait Till Helen Comes, the ghosts were real. Yes. And it really started me reading more fantasy books.
Do you have a favorite, like, supernatural character then? Like, are you, do you particularly like the vampire trope or the haunted trope? Or
I really like straight up second world fantasy more now than supernatural stuff.
Yeah.
I don't dislike them, but I would if I were given a choice between a paranormal book and a fantasy book, I would probably choose the fantasy.
Yeah. Cool. Were there any other books that changed life then, apart from realizing that people have to write them? I've just got this image of you going to the library and just the librarian's handing you a book and thinking, oh, you're a magic book fairy. You produce.
That's pretty much librarian. What it was. Yeah. My librarians just kept giving me books.
Librarians are awesome.
Yeah. They just kept giving me all the books that, and like finally I managed to figure out like what it was that I really liked. So they would give me, they gave me like Robin McKinley, The Blue Sword.
Yeah.
Good choice. And I also read Tamar Pierce when I was a kid.
Yes.
I love
that. Gail Carriger recommended that one as well.
Yeah. So, and like of the, I knew then that I wanted to write books. I figured like, oh, if they can do it, I can too. So the earliest things that I wrote were shameless copies of Wait Till Helen Comes. It was just like Wait Till Helen Comes.
We don't call them copies anymore. We call them fan fiction. Or, you know.
No, these were copies.
Okay.
I stole the plot and everything. The names changed, but that's pretty much it.
The names changed to protect the plagiarism.
Okay. And I changed the words. But I just followed along with her plot. And then the other one was Wild Magic by Tamara Pierce. I shamelessly copied that one too when I was a kid. And at some point in there, I like mixed it up with a little bit of Garth Nix, Sabriel.
Yeah.
That's for variety.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. But you're very good at creating worlds then, apparently.
You know. I'm better at it now. Instead of like just straight up stealing things that I like, yes.
You also have two people who were like saying, no, don't do that. We've read that before.
She's got excellent books all by her lonesome too.
Well, that is very true. That is very true. And editors will probably help and go, haven't we read this before? No, my own work.
Yeah, well, I think that's how you learn, though, is you learn by copying what you like. And, like, if you are doing art, then you learn by studying the masters. Exactly. And that's exactly what I was trying to do as a kid. Fortunately, none of those things ever got published.
You're just refining your craft and finding your own voice. Exactly, exactly.
So it's all turned out very well.
Exactly. Yeah, it worked out all right.
It's fine. I'm just a published author with a, you know, a nice little back catalogue and upcoming novels coming out. It's all good. Yeah.
So what do you do in your spare time in your tower?
I spin yarn and awesome. I knit it.
Awesome. So your tower is just gonna knit like the outside of your tower just because you have so much time.
Oh, like yarn bombing my own tower.
Yes.
Yeah. I would do that. I have my spinning wheel right there. I don't know if you can see it easily, but it's that.
Oh, awesome.
Is a spinning wheel. And there's another one behind my chair a little bit. I don't want to make too much noise. There we go. On the other side of the room. And I have spindles that will not curse me.
I was worried, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say if there's any some kind of like cursing Sleeping Beauty Maleficent thing going on.
No, it's fine. They're not sharp enough for, you know, curses. They're not going to draw blood. So here's, for example, here is a spindle. and that is not going to draw blood.
No, you'd have to shove really hard with that.
You'd have to aim at the eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Soft parts only, thank you.
Yeah. So I'm not super worried about getting cursed and like having a sleeping curse. Although, you know, if I am a nighttime ferret, that's practically a sleeping curse, but it's
practically
nice.
Practically the same.
Well. And I like to knit. I don't have. Oh, I do have like various knitted items around me, but here's what I'm working on right now.
Ooh,
I've just started it, but it's going to be like this, but bigger.
I love it.
Wow.
I do not have that talent.
It is my only other talent.
My mum keeps trying to teach me, but I'm like, I'm okay. Thanks.
I wish I had that talent. You know, I have time now.
Maybe I should.
Yeah, I'm going to take that up. And also poetry.
You can crochet.
No, I can't crochet.
You could finally learn to cross stitch and give me some, like, sweary samplers.
I could make you some really offensive cross stitch.
Yeah, I like offensive cross stitch.
Yeah.
I like it when, you know, people do handkerchiefs and they do, like, the lovely floral designs and then tell people to F off in the corner.
Yes.
I love an offensive crafting.
Yes.
Maybe I'll learn
doing those.
Oh,
they make delightful Christmas presents.
Oh, who doesn't love an offensive Christmas present?
Exactly.
My favorite thing. Oh my gosh. Did you have anything else that you want to talk about? Anything you want to tell us about? Anything in the works? Anything that you're excited about? Tell us all the things.
Wow. Well, one of the difficult parts of being an author is not being able to talk about things that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
So all I can say is there are things happening, but I can't talk about them.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we know they exist.
But I mean, I think you'll be pleased.
Okay.
So, it's probably a sure thing to say, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
So some of the things won't happen, but will for sure happen, but won't happen for a couple of more years.
Okay.
One thing is sort of public, as in we have a producer for a My Lady Jane show.
Oh, that's awesome.
We have a producer and a screenwriter, and both of those have been publicly announced.
That is awesome.
Anything else regarding that is not public and not a for sure deal.
I am so ridiculously excited by that.
Yeah, that's so cool that it's even like halfway a thing. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I will say the conversations that we have had about like what it would be like I want to watch it.
I'm dreamcasting in my head right now. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know who I want to be the granny.
Okay, make a list.
If they're a Dame, they need to be the granny. I'm going down like this. I want Julie Andrews or Dame Helen Mirren or Angela Lansbury.
Any of those would be amazing.
I love all of this.
I want a cantankerous old dame, literal dame, to be the grandma who's a skunk and just gives Edward shit. Because she's my life goal.
Yeah, it would be fun. Like, we basically have nothing to do with it anymore.
Oh, no.
You know, it's not really in our hands once we hand it off to a producer.
Kind of creative consultancy on it though?
Our screenwriter is really amazing and we chat with her about things sometimes, but she's just off doing her work as far as I know. So I think that she would consider our opinions.
Yeah.
But like ultimately it's gonna be somebody else's TV show.
Yeah.
Can you say who the screenwriter is?
It's Gemma Burgess.
I'm going to totally Google her.
Yeah. As we both stop and research.
To Google. So I know Gemma has some books, like published books. I think they were new adult. I could be wrong. But yeah, she's a novelist too. And so I think she understands, you know, how connected you feel to your own book, and
yeah,
you want somebody to take care of it the way, you know, that you would take care of it. So that's, I think she's on our side with all of that. She's been really great.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, and it's a little surreal.
That is ridiculous. That means that if My Lady Jane does well, then we'll see My Calamity Jane and
Lynn
Jane.
It's very possible. My personal goal, not any other official thing, okay?
Yeah.
My personal desire would be an anthology style TV show. So yes. Like season one, My Lady Jane. Season yes. two, My Plain Jane.
Yes, because that would be brilliant, because then you're not going too far from the original text. You're keeping it. Oh yes.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Oh, we might have to do a fictional hangover theater 3000 for My yes. Lady Jane. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. If that ever happens, I would be so incredibly happy. But
it'd be amazing.
We you know, it's one of the things that we're always told, like, don't hold your breath, don't really expect anything, you know. Yeah. If they pay you any money, just take it.
I've heard that a lot from authors on Twitter, that, you know, if you're offered money for movie rights, say thank you and don't expect to ever see it on the big screen.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. But if it's got, like, you know, a script writer attached, at least that's like one step further forward.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. Like, we've been in this position almost, we haven't been this far before, but and I guess 2016, we did have a producer then. We had like three different producers trying to court us, which was pretty crazy. But we went with Scott Free, which is Ridley Scott's production company. And we had they were aiming for a movie rather than a TV show.
Mm.
They were really, like, the women who were talking with us and working on it with us were really amazing. They were so nice. They had lots of fun ideas. But it didn't go anywhere. So then we just didn't have anything for a while, and until actually our screenwriter found us.
That's so exciting.
Is there anything else that's in the works that you want, or just anything in general that you want to give a shout out to people? You know, we've had people say, go vote, and, you know, be nice to each other and wash your dang hands.
That was a pretty good accent.
Thanks. She's a Spanish voice actress. She tells me off of my accents.
All of those things are very important. Go vote, be nice to other people, and wash your hands. And now stay 6 feet away.
Yes.
Stay home in your tower.
Yes, stay in your tower and yarn bomb it, please.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good life lesson, really, too.
Yeah,
I like it.
And on that,
and on that note, that's all we're going to keep you for. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This was fun. You kids are great.
Thanks.
We will no doubt try and get Cynthia and Bodhi all on at the same time.
Wouldn't that be cool? Can you just convince them? Can you tell them that we're not terrible people?
I will tell them that. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
I think they've just been busy with family and homeschool probably. And suddenly.
Yeah.
And all of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe at least for My Calamity Jane, since it'll be new at that time when we cover it, maybe they'll be more excited.
Yeah. To join I'll try to persuade them to abandon their families for an hour.
Yeah, there is nothing wrong with abandoning your family for an hour. It's fine.
I do that all the time.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you again a million times. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Bye.
So that's it for this bonus episode of Fictional Hangover. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Claire.
Join us next time as we discuss Renegades by Marissa Meyer. Contact us if you'd like to join us for an upcoming Would You Rather segment, or if you have any books to recommend. Also, be sure to look out for the next Would You Rather poll on social media, and don't forget about our book club and monthly challenges on Goodreads. Until next time, remember, the only cure for a fictional hangover is another book.
Us at fictionalhangover.com, follow us on Instagram at fictionalhangover, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fictionalhangover, and on Twitter at fictionalhangover, no ER, and now on Goodreads at www.goodreads.com/fictionalhangover. And finally, a special thanks to Liz Emerson for our music. You can find her on Facebook and on Patreon. Thanks for listening.